And please now get your Bibles and let's turn back to the book of Psalms together this evening, back to Psalm 119 tonight. And tonight we are going to begin a new series that I've entitled Loving the Word of God. And we're going to begin this series and take some time to work through Psalm 119 together. We will clearly be long past our reading through it in the evenings as the series goes on. But I think that this study really will be worth our time as a congregation because it is a subject that is absolutely vital to our Christian lives. And I hope that it will be a helpful series, making us a whole lot more familiar with this amazing psalm and the amazing subject matter of this psalm. So let's give our careful attention again to God's Word, just verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. That is the Word of God. As we begin tonight, it's important for us to think for a moment about who God is and what He is like. And particularly, I want us to come to grips this evening with the fact that God is a speaking God. He is a God who communicates with His creation, particularly with His image bearers. Letters and words and phrases, these are all His domain. In fact, as I have it there in the introduction on your handout this evening, we can think of God as the very Lord of language. He is the Lord of language. He can confuse it if He wants to, like He did at the Tower of Babel as a judgment against the people. He can unify it, as He did on the day of Pentecost, as we see in Acts chapter 2, as a blessing to people. And His ultimate aim in language is so that it can become the medium of everlasting praise to Him. As we saw in the call to worship this evening, the reading from Revelation chapter 7, where we see this harmonious praise from a very mixed crowd. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. Every tribe, tongue, and nation praising He who sits on the throne and the Lamb. Lifting up this unified heavenly chorus of song to Him forever and ever. Language is of the Lord, and language is for the Lord. And therefore, I think it is entirely fitting that when we come to the longest chapter in the entire Bible, chapter, as I mentioned a moment ago, that has 176 verses in it, which is from beginning to end a psalm of praise to God for His revealed Word, and it is also a prayer to Him that we desire to be increasingly conformed in obedience to His Word. It's entirely fitting that in this psalm, which is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, which is all about His Word, that every single phrase of this psalm, every single word of this psalm, and even every letter, the way that the very letters are used to structure it, is all of this, the phrases, the words, the letters, are made to serve the precise purpose of praising the Lord of language and rejoicing in His Word. And we need to learn to love His Word more than we do. We need to value His Word more than gold, to desire to be increasingly growing in our understanding of it and our living in light of it. And we need this more than any other endeavor in our life. And that is the purpose of Psalm 119. The purpose of Psalm 119 is to increase our love for God and His Word. Let me ask you a few questions I asked up in Teller County. Do you struggle reading it? Do you struggle reading the Word of God? Do you find yourself at times much more interested in other things than in the Bible? Do you hear even the words I've spoken this evening? You hear all this extolling of how great the Bible is, how great the Word of God is, and yet you still find yourself maybe secretly thinking to yourself, I just don't get it. I don't see what all the excitement is about when it comes to the Word of God. I think if we were all honest, we would find ourselves at some point in all of those descriptions. Sometimes it is hard to read the Word. Sometimes it is hard to get excited about it. Sometimes we struggle with what's the big deal. Well, if that is where we're at, and if that's where you're at tonight, then you need Psalm 119. We all need it. If that fire has grown cold in your heart for the Word of God, then you need Psalm 119. Because this psalm is a gift from God to you. It is His Word to you for your good, to help you understand that His Word is to you for your good. This is the aim of Psalm 119. And I'm asking you this evening and throughout this series to give careful attention to God's Word as it is presented here in Psalm 119. And I want you to seek to hear God as He speaks. I want you to seek to abide in His Word as it's revealed, and to seek, as James would say, to not just be a hearer only, but a doer of His Word as well. Because I think that if we give ourselves to a thorough and an edifying study of Psalm 119, that we will individually, we will as a congregation, we will come to love Him more, and we will come to find Him, our glorious communicating God, to be the most satisfying thing that we could ever hope for when we earnestly seek Him with our whole hearts. I want us this evening to consider, first of all, here as something of an intro to the psalm, just some interesting things about the psalm. And that is because Psalm 119 has fascinated readers for centuries for multiple reasons, not the least being its size and its structure. The size and the structure of Psalm 119. That is to say, it is clearly, like we mentioned a moment ago, it's the largest chapter in the Bible. This one chapter is longer than quite a few biblical books in their entirety. This one chapter bigger than some individual books in the Bible. And it's all the more interesting to notice that we have this longest chapter in the Bible when just two chapters back in Psalm 117, we were at the shortest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 117 is simply two verses long. And here we come to Psalm 119 and we have 176 verses. There is quite a funny story. There's many stories concerning the historical use and how Psalm 119 has been used throughout history. But there's a particularly interesting story that's relayed by James Montgomery Boyce in his commentary on the Psalms, and it's about a man named George Wissert, who is not the same George Wissert who John Knox served as a bodyguard for. This one comes about 100 years after that one. This George Wissert was a bishop in Edinburgh, and he had gotten in trouble, and he was condemned to die. And so he was condemned to be hung in the gallows. And I'll let Boyce relay the rest of the short story. When he was on the scaffold, he made use of a custom of the times that permitted the condemned to choose a psalm to be sung. He chose Psalm 119. Before 2/3 of the psalm was sung, a pardon arrived, and Wissert's life was spared. psalm is very long, and there's some very practical use to its length seen there in the story of this George Wissert. But what we can't see, we can see how long it is. We can see that it's very much about the Word of God. But what we can't see in the English is that Psalm 119 is a massive acrostic, what we would call an acrostic. In other words, there are 22 sections of Psalm 119, and each of those sections are coordinated with the Hebrew alphabet. Many of our English translations show that, and I hope that the one you're reading, you might be able to see that. But it follows the Hebrew alphabet just like as if it were to follow our ABCs. And in each of these 22 sections that follows the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, in every section there are 8 verses. And here's the interesting thing that we can't see in the English, but it's there in the Hebrew. In each section, so the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. In each section, each of those 8 verses, the first word of each of those 8 lines begins with a word that begins with the letter Aleph. And when you move to the next 8 verses, Beit, every first word of each 8 lines begins with the Hebrew equivalent to our B, a word that begins with B. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. It goes on through the entire Hebrew alphabet. Every single word of whatever section beginning with a word that begins with the letter corresponding to that section. And so in saying that, in pointing that out, what we are learning and what we see right off the bat is that this is a very meticulously structured psalm, which is all about the Word of God. In fact, there are, and Hebrew scholars debate about this a little bit, but there are at least 8 words or synonyms used to describe the Word of God in this psalm. In other words, words like His Word, or His commandments, or His law, or His precepts, or His rules, or His statutes. And there are never less, and this is another interesting part, there are never less than 6 of those at least 8 words used in every single section of all 22 sections. At least 6 different words are used in each of the 22 different sections of the psalm. And here's another quite fascinating matter. Of all 176 verses, every single verse of this psalm, except 3, actually contains one of those 8 words, speaking of the Word of God. And so I bring these to your attention so that we can see that Psalm 119 is simply flooded with reference to the Word of God. And it is entirely taken up with the purpose to teach us of the excellencies of the Word of God and to focus our attention upon the Word of God, which then brings us this evening to consider, secondly, after having looked at some interesting things about the psalm, I want us to now consider really some important truths about the section that is before us this evening. Many have noted the parallels between the beginning of Psalm 119 and the beginning of Psalm 1. And I put those two beginnings in your outline this evening so that you can see it. Psalm 1 begins, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." And then now listen to the beginning of Psalm 119. "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways." And as we're beginning to consider some important truths here in these first 8 verses, I think it's important for us to note that there is an implicit claim being made at the beginning of the book of Psalms, and an implicit claim being made at the beginning of Psalm 119, which is all about the glories of the Word of God. And that is the claim that both the book of Psalms and Psalm 119 in particular, the claim is that they know what will make you happy. The claim is to know what will make you happy. Now, it's implicit because it assumes the beginning of the Psalter begins this way. Psalm 119 begins this way. It assumes that you want to be happy. And that's a safe assumption. If you are normal, you want to be happy. Every sane person desires to be happy. And the book of Psalms and Psalm 119 claims to know what will make you happy. And I want you to think about this for a moment this evening. Let me back up just a second and make you confront that question. Do you want to be happy? I think you do. I don't think there's anybody out there that says, "No, I want to be miserable. I want to be unhappy." I think every one of us wants to be happy. In fact, I could prove it this way. Isn't your struggle with sin an issue of you wanting to be happy? But you're trying to be happy and you're trying to be blessed in an illegitimate way. But that's what you're after. You're after your own happiness. I mean, don't you get up each day and desire the good, the beautiful, the worthy things in life? In fact, that's the way we were made. We were wired to desire things that are good and things that are beautiful and things that are worthy. That's how our Creator made us. But the problem is your sense of what is good and what is beautiful and what is worthy, it has been completely sabotaged by your sin. Now you don't know. Now you grope after things that you think will make you happy, because you have a twisted sense of what those are, what really would make you happy. And because of that, you need to desperately hear and heed the opening call of this psalm. The reason why you need to hear and heed it is because not only is God saying that He knows what you want, and that is that you want to be happy. He's not just saying He knows what you want, but He is saying also He knows how you can get it, how you can be happy. And His answer might not be what you are thinking. God's answer to what you are longing for. You are longing for happiness. You want to be happy. And His answer is the way that you will be happy is by being holy. That is His answer. Happiness is found in being holy. If you want to be happy, you must be holy. And so Psalm 119 begins with God saying to you, as St. Augustine noted in his comment on this psalm, Psalm 119 begins with God saying to you, I know what thou wishest. Thou art seeking bliss or blessing. If then thou wouldest be blessed, then be undefiled. Augustine goes on and says, for the former, all desire. Everyone wants blessing. Everyone wants bliss. The latter, everyone fears. We don't think happiness is found in holiness. That is what we fear. Isn't holiness opposed to happiness? Isn't the things that make me happy antithetical to holiness? Augustine goes on, yet without it, what all wish for can never be attained. In other words, without holiness, what everyone wishes for, blessing and happiness, cannot be attained. But where will anyone be undefiled except, this is Augustine, except in the way? In what way? What way is that? In the law of the Lord. I want you to notice that the psalmist sees this as well. And the psalmist confirms it, and he cries out for it. In verses 4 through 6, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. You want to be happy? The only way to be happy is to be holy. Holiness is found in the way. It's found in the law of the Lord. The psalmist confirms that I want that. I want that blessing. But here is the most important matter that we will consider this evening. You have to get this point or you will have missed everything and you will have gotten the wrong message. The most important matter that we can clarify this evening is that though perfection in the law of God is the way of happiness and blessing, the psalmist knows and the psalmist confesses to know that the power to walk in the way of the Lord, the power to walk in the law of God in perfection is absolutely not in him. He doesn't have the ability then to be happy because he does not have the ability to be holy in himself. This becomes the key to this entire psalm. In fact, it's the key, I think, to the whole Psalter. We're going to be examining this theme throughout the whole time we spend in Psalm 119 in this series, but we see the cry that we all need to have at this point in our journey. We see the cry through this psalm, and that is the recognition that we will only be in this state of blessing and bliss that we all want. The cry here in Psalm 119 verses 1 through 8 is that we will only be in this state of bliss that we all want when God, by His grace, saves us. And then conforms us into His image and begins to enable us increasingly to walk in His ways. And so he cries out, notice in verses 7 and 8. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. That is not a cry of pride. That is a cry of hope. That is a cry for help to the God of all grace. I put this small second quote in your outline this evening because I think it's important. Augustine is paraphrasing this final cry here. If my ways are made straight, then I will confess unto thee, since thou hast done it, and this is thy praise and not mine. If you will make my path straight, then I will render to you this perfect praise. And all that praise will be due to your name because you alone have done it. You alone have changed me. In fact, as we conclude this initial peek into Psalm 119 this evening, it is important. And I know this isn't going to sound very profound, but you have to hear this and we have to get this. It is important, and again, you're going to, to recognize that Psalm 2 follows Psalm 1. You might want to write that down. And it's important that we understand that verse 176 of Psalm 119 follows verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 119. In other words, when Psalm 1:1 opens by describing that there is, not that this is an open invitation to everybody, but that there is this blessed man. There is a man who is blessed, who finds delight and happiness in a perfect keeping of the law of the Lord. Psalm 1 opens with this declaration, there is this blessed man And he is blessed because he finds his entire delight in a perfect keeping and a perfect embracing of the law of the Lord. He meditates on its precepts day and night. His entire life is lived in light of it. When Psalm 1 announces that man, Psalm 2 tells us who that man is. In Psalm 2, we have identified to us who that blessed one is. That blessed one is the Son of God. That blessed one is our Lord Jesus Christ, within whom everyone is blessed who takes refuge in Him. If you miss the beginning of the Psalter, you will miss and misunderstand the whole Psalter. There is a blessed man. It is the Son of God. It is Jesus Christ. And that's why Psalm 2 ends with, in verse 11, blessed are all who in Him take refuge. And as Psalm 119 opens by declaring that all those who keep the law of the Lord blamelessly will be blessed, the entire psalm ends with a reminder that we are all like lost sheep, needing the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And this glorious and massive psalm ends with a cry to God for grace and mercy. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. After all of this meditation on the law of God, after all this prayer to be conformed to it, to live in light of it, the final cry of Psalm 119 is, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, and a plea to God, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. To be very clear this evening, Psalm 119 is not pressing you back upon your own works and your own law keeping for salvation and for hope and for blessing. Psalm 119 is pointing you to the Word of God for salvation and for hope and for blessing. And a point that we will continue to insist upon as we work through Psalm 119 is that we have to view it. We have to view everything that Psalm 119 says about the Word of God in light of John 1:1 and John 1:14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Psalm 119 is all about Jesus, because it is all about the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. In fact, I'll give you an interesting and edifying exercise. Read through Psalm 119. People have done this with 1 Corinthians 13. Read through Psalm 119 and replace every time you see His precepts, His testimonies, His Word, His rules with Jesus Christ. And then you'll get the psalm. You'll get where it is focusing us and it is pressing. as Jesus declared in his rebuke of the Pharisees of his day in John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness of me." The great blessing that the beginning of this psalm is driving us to, the happiness and the bliss and the blessing that this psalm is driving us to, is found entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very Word of God made flesh. He is where all blessing and all glory and all salvation is to be found. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word made flesh. We thank you for your written Word directing us and revealing to us you and your salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for making him our wisdom and our justification and our sanctification and our redemption. Father, put us on a path and a journey to lay hold of Christ in a way that we have formerly not, with an increased vigor and intensity of love than before. And so we pray that you'll reveal your Word to us, that we might find all the light in it, because your Word is your Son. We do ask these things and plead with you to be with us as we take this walk and this road together through this glorious psalm that you have given us. We ask these things in His way. His name. Amen.